Happy Friday. God bless you all. It's nice to be back together again. I want to be punctual with this, and so we'll get started here in just a minute. So why don't we go ahead and stand, and we're gonna read from Revelation, the first chapter, and the verses 1 through 20. Revelation chapter 1, verses 1 through 20. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein. So you're blessed just to hear it or to read it, and especially if you keep it. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is and which was and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. And I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet, saying, I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book, and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia, unto Ephesus, and unto Smyrna, and unto Pergamos, and Thyatira, unto Sardis, and unto Philadelphia, and unto Laodicea. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me. And being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, and as white as snow, and his eyes were as flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, for I am the first and the last. I am him that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen. And have the keys of hell and death. Write the things which thou hast seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Father, thank you so much for this opportunity that we have to come to know you better. And Lord, the best way that we can come to know you better is to look for you in your word, because you are hidden and revealed in your word. But Father, without your spirit in our midst, without your spirit in our lives, we're just reading this evening, and though the things that we're reading are wonderful, they're absolutely the truth, without your Spirit, it's a dead letter. And so, Lord, we're looking to you to quicken your word this evening. We're looking for you to reveal yourself to us in a greater measure. We're looking, Lord, to know you better in your word, to be able to identify our day and its message and our place in it, Lord, and then to be able to be witnesses to others, to be able to show you to others, because we ourselves know where to find you in your word. So I ask that you bless each and every one that are here tonight, Lord, and anoint their thinking tonight, Lord, and in their hearts. May we all just be relaxed, Lord, as we sit at your feet and we're looking to you, Lord, to speak to us. Bless each and every one. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So I want to give a quick overview here this evening to what our approach is going to be for this Bible study. As you can see, we want it to be informal. And if it doesn't get bigger than this, if we don't get more people than this, we're going to go house to house. That's what we're going to do. And it might just be at my house. I don't know. That's how they did it in the scriptures. They went from house to house, right? We intentionally chose to do it here in this building because we want to record it and we want it to be available for those that are streaming. But we also want it to be, first and foremost, we want it to be beneficial. And that being the case, this will be a different kind of a gathering than perhaps what we're used to when we come together for our Sunday and Wednesday services. So I didn't say this before, and I apologize, but we'll get better at this as we go through this Bible study. It would be helpful for you if you would bring your personal Bible with you and be prepared to mark it up. Now, if you're like me, when I was growing up, I didn't want to put any marks in my Bible other than, maybe you got your family tree up front, maybe you've got some kind of a little writing in there of who gave it to you, who dedicated it to you, or whatever. But I just, I was always told that the Word of God is precious and holy, and so I didn't want to put any kind of marks in it, But I want to dispel you of that, that idea, if there's any resistance on your part. Certainly, you're not going to add to or take away from it, but that Bible that you have, that's your personal sword. And since it's your personal sword, you want it to be molded and shaped to where it fits your hand. And the way to make it fit your hand is to put notes in there. There are things that we will study, that we will read, and we will catch it. And then if we don't write it down, if we don't repeat it, maybe we'll try to explain it to somebody else, but we can't remember where it was at. Or we're trying to share what we've learned with other people, and we can't find where it's at. You need to, the results of this Bible study, by the time we get through, the least amongst us, the youngest amongst us, should be able to take you to the Bible and show you Christ in the Bible and show you, this is what I believe, and this is why I believe it, and I can show it to you in the Bible. Does that sound like a worthy goal? So some of us, I realize, use electronic Bibles now. Well, there are a lot of electronic Bibles apps that you can download that will allow you to mark them up, put in your personal notes, in other words. So one way or another, you need to take some notes somehow so that we're going to cover all the doctrines, really, all the major doctrines in this study. And so when you want to share with somebody the Godhead, you ought to be able to find the scriptures to back it up, right? And the best way to do that is to mark up your Bible. So there's a couple of ways, a couple of approaches. And maybe you might want to do both of them, as I have done in the past. And one approach is to, when you find a scripture that's relating to the Godhead, highlight it in your Bible, and then put a little note on the side in the margin there, Godhead or whatever term that you want to apply that addresses that subject. The other thing is to have, there are extra pages generally in the back part of your Bible, sometimes in the front. You could write in there Godhead and then list these scriptures so that you'll know where to go to, And there are many subjects where that's going to become very, very valuable for you to do. And the only way that this is going to become your revelation is for you to make it your personal sword and for you to be able to go into it and find these things and then share it with other people. Because it isn't just for the ministry to share these things with other people. Every believer ought to be able to show you in the Bible because we ourselves have to be able to find him in the Bible, right? If we can't find him in the Bible, let's go do something else because that's the only place that you will find him, right? He's hidden and revealed in his own word. So our primary goal of this Bible study is for Christ himself to reveal his word to each and every one of you personally. That's our goal, number one. And so as we look at it tonight, we'll find that that's the only way that you can know him and know his word. And as such, we want each of us to be able to see in the word what it is that we believe. And then, as I said before, to be able to find the scriptures for ourselves, so that our faith is firmly established in the word. That was the goal of your messenger. How many knows that? The goal of your messenger was not to point you to the message. The goal of your messenger was to bring a message to point you to your word. And your messenger said, if you can't find it in the Bible, then don't believe it. And your messenger said, take everything that I've said back to the word. Your messenger's quote book is the Bible, right? So we want to recognize that the message is the light that illuminates the Bible so that when you read it, you understand what it is that you're reading. So this is a Bible study, but we know, even though it's a Bible study, it will take the Spirit of Christ to reveal these truths in his word to each and every one of us. I can't reveal it to you. Only he can do that. And that's his plan. That's his choice. That's the way he set this up to do it, right? We can teach and show you these things, but he has to reveal it to you. I mean, he knows that's true. And we're promised that if we seek him with all of our hearts, we will find him. So our prayer constantly should be, speak to me, Lord. Right? So we're going to assign reading from, this is the book that we're referring to right now. Now, if you've got a different printing of it, a different color, that's okay. But we have these available if you don't have one and you'd like one. And I believe they're $5, so we're just giving it to you at cost, and it's a pretty reasonable cost, I think. And we're going to make an assigned reading each week from this exposition of the seven church ages. And we ask that you read what you read. Read it prayerfully. Pray beforehand and ask God to speak to you. And recognize that you are going to gain knowledge and you are going to gain information, right? But that's not our goal. That will come with it. Our goal is to receive revelation. Our goal is, okay, Lord, this is what you said, but explain it to me. Make it real to me. This is a letter that you've written. Now, you as the author, read this letter to me. Take me between the lines. Tell me what you meant by what you said. Okay? So read it with the goal of gaining true understanding that can only come by his Spirit speaking to you. So we don't know how much reading will be covered each week, but we're not in a hurry. And our goal is to know him in a greater way, which means also having a greater understanding of his word, because he is his word. And in his revealed word is power to make that word live. This is a special book, our Bible. There's no other book like it. We want it to go from being a printed book to a living book. And ultimately, our goal is for that book to be living in you and for you to be able to just tell us what you believe from his word, which is in you. So it was brought to my attention here, and I'm sure there'll be a few more things that'll be brought to my attention here shortly, which is okay. It was brought to my attention that the page numbers in the various exposition of the Seven Church Age book, they don't line up based on, you know, if you've got a blue book or a black book or the red book. The paragraph numbers are not the same. Page numbers don't line up. And even in the, unfortunately, even in the English and Spanish versions, even the paragraph numbers are not the same, let alone the page numbers. So, with that in mind, what we're going to try and do when we make an assignment for reading is there are major headings in here. For instance, we won't get quite to the salutation here tonight, but there's a portion in your exposition of the Seven Church Ages where the headline is the salutation. And so we will try to make our reading assignments to where we can say go from this major heading to that major heading, regardless of what the page numbers are, so that we're all looking at the same thing. That be okay? But if any time that there's a question about where we're reading from, please ask. And then finally, when you come, please be prepared to ask questions, because the whole purpose of this is for you to understand what it is that you're reading. And forgive me for being blunt, but if there's no questions, we're probably not reading anything. Because reading will, if you're studying, it will conjure up questions, I'm sure. And some of the questions, if they're off topic, they're going to be discussed in, and they will be discussed in further studies. We will try to get those written down, and we'll hold those questions. For instance, if it's covering a major doctrine that's going to be covered later on, we would rather wait until it's covered later on. If it's something that's important but maybe isn't going to be covered in great detail, we'll entertain that at the time. But we'll the message I want you to get from that is that your questions will be answered, but not necessarily on the night that we're covering these things. So in going through this study, we're going to ask you questions so that there's participation on your part and so that we can challenge you to study. It's not to show what you know or what you don't know. It's not a contest, and there aren't any grades that are going to be given, and there's no prizes. And the only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. So we want you to ask questions. So the goal, once again, is understanding. Bible study is being recorded, and it's mainly for those that want to embark on this study, those that we haven't met yet. And so we've got it archived, and so that they can go through the same study. So any questions so far on what I've covered so far? Fair enough? All right, the first three verses. So I'm predicting we're only going to cover about a third of, so I think we assigned pages 1 through 28. I think we're only going to cover about a third of that tonight. So just to kind of give you an idea, because there's a major thought here in that first third that I think is enough to talk about here tonight. Revelation chapter 1, verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So we have Jesus Christ. We have what he's bringing to reveal, to show unto his servants. We have seven church age messengers that are going to speak later on. And what they're going to speak is what Jesus Christ has revealed to them. And then the messengers are going to speak. And then the ministers are going to take that and speak. And then the people are going to take that and speak. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John. So what I want you to, we're not going to spend any time on that tonight, but we will later on. There's somebody that's showing this to Brother Brown, or to Brother John. There's somebody that's revealing it to him, and he's a servant. I'll just go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. We'll find out later on. He says, I'm one of your fellow servants, the prophets. So this messenger is not an angel, but it's an earthly messenger. Sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ. That's the same thing, by the way. And of all the things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy. So just to read it and to hear it, you're blessed. And keep those things which are written therein. For the time is at hand. So, question number one. Who's the scribe that wrote this last book of the Bible? Anybody know? John. Okay. Who's the writer of this book? So John's the scribe. He's the one that wrote it down. But who's the one that gave John? Who's the one that's speaking this? Who's the one that, whose message is this? Jesus Christ. So he's the writer of the book, right? And this is the only book in the entire Bible that is written by him and him alone. And it is the complete revelation of Jesus Christ, though it will dovetail all through the scriptures. And who is it that's being revealed to us? It's called the book of Revelation. Who's being revealed to us? Jesus Christ. Very good. So the very word revelation, it means unveiling. And Brother Branham, as we read in here, Brother Branham said it's like an artist that's building a statue. He'll carve it and work out all the details and then cover it. And when you take that covering off, what you're doing is you're revealing to others what's already there. That's significant, and I hope that you don't miss it. So it's not just the revealing of something. It's the revealing of something that's already there. So Christ has always been in his word. But when he's unveiled, you see who he is in his own word. So it's revealing, as Brother Branham put it, it's revealing to us what was previously hidden, but has always been there. And, you know, God is just so amazing in so many different ways. But to me, it is amazing that God can hide himself in plain sight. Because once he does reveal himself to you, you can't not see him. But you didn't see him before, right? And you see him, and so you think, man, I'm going to go share. Everybody ought to. I want to share this with everybody, and they will see the very same thing that I'm seeing. And then you're shocked when you say, look, it's right there. And they're like, I don't see it. I don't know what you're talking about, right? But you can't not see it. And it's so simple that you think, you know what, I ought to be able to show my grandson this, you know, and he's not even in kindergarten yet. Because it's so obvious. Are you with me? Marvelous, isn't it? So in other words, if what we're going to bring out in this series is complicated, you know for a fact that we don't have the full revelation of it. Because if it's revealed to you, it's simple. Right? The amazing thing is that you can't see it unless he reveals it to you. But once he reveals it to you, it's so simple that you can't not see it. So this book called Revelations, which is at the end of the Bible, it completely reveals to us Jesus Christ, and it also reveals to us his works in his church throughout seven church ages. So how important do you think Revelation is to us? Anybody have a thought on that? I heard more than we know. Very. There's no, come on. What do you think? It's life itself. Is it more important? Excuse me. I'm sorry. I'd like to think of anything else, but I just can't get hunting and fishing out of my mind. Is it more important than hunting and fishing? Is it more important than shopping? Is it more important than Facebook? Is it more important than coming to church? Don't get nervous. Yes. Is it more important than getting a raise? Is it more important than memorizing the Bible? Friends, it's the most important thing. This is where we're going to spend our time here tonight. There's nothing more important. And to me, the shocking thing is people can attend churches that claim to have this unveiling or this revelation and claim to believe it and claim to be following it, and they have no idea. They have no idea. Oh, yeah, they have the information. They've read the words. But unless he reveals it to you, it's just a book. And friends, I'll just go ahead and make a bold statement here tonight. If God reveals this to you, you'll never leave it. Never. No matter what anybody else does. That's the difference between somebody that's identifying with it and somebody where it's the most important thing. It's exciting. It's personal. It's exciting because you're so humbled. It's exciting because of what he's revealing, but it's also exciting because you're so humbled by the fact that, wow, you planned this all out, and then you hid it, and then you released it at the right time, and you're speaking to me right now, this very moment. With that in mind, we're going to read from Matthew chapter 16, verses 13 through 18. So if you're going to make a little notation, if you're going to make a little topical study for yourself, you might want to title this Revelation. Matthew chapter 16, it says, when Jesus came into the coasts of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that you are John the Baptist. Some say that you're Elijah. Others say that you're Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So it sounds like universally they knew he was a prophet. But there was disagreement. Some heard him probably quoting Jeremiah. Some heard him quoting Elijah, so on and so forth. And saw the similitude of his ministry because Elijah was quoting him. And so when the very fulfillment of what Elijah was quoting was standing before them, they could identify that Elijah portion and say, well, he must have been Elijah, or he must have been Jeremiah. And he said unto them, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are Christ come down in human flesh. You are the very offspring of God. You are God manifested in flesh." Now, there wasn't even a pause. There wasn't a, "Well, let's all think about it. Let's go ask the seminary what they have to say about it." And the reason was, this was revealed to Peter. In other words, it wasn't revealed until this moment. But it was revealed to him by the Spirit of God. And Peter could never not see this after this. "Who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, because flesh and blood didn't reveal it to you." Now, flesh and blood can say these words to you, but Spirit God is the only one that can reveal it to you. Are you with me? "But my Father which is in heaven," that's Spirit God. God is a spirit. No man has seen God at any time. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock will I build my church." And we know that a rock always represents the revelation of the word, or the unveiling of the word. "Upon this rock will I build my church." And this scripture in Matthew 16, that's the first time that Jesus ever told us that he was even going to build a church. But now he's telling us, not only is he going to build a church, but he's going to build it upon the revealed word, the revelation of himself. "And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So, as Brother Dutch, as all of you rightly said, revelation means more to you than anything. Revelation means more to you than anything. Because if God doesn't reveal it to you, you'll never see it. And we'll look at that here a little bit more in just a moment. So let me ask you tonight, do you have to be smart to understand Jesus Christ? Thank God, right? To receive eternal life, Brother Ram tells us, God must reveal himself, reveal himself to you that Jesus is the Christ. There's another scripture, my mind draws a blank exactly where it's at right now. Maybe I'll bring it to you this next time. But Paul told us that no man can call him the Christ except by the Holy Ghost, right? So, in other words, it has to be revealed to you. So nobody can ever convince me that Jesus is not the Christ, because it's been revealed, right? So that must be revealed to you, that Jesus is the anointed one, the Christ, the Messiah. It must be revealed to you that it's his blood that cleanses you. Now, friends, what does it mean for that to be revealed to you? It means more than just the words. What it means is you believe that. What it means is you know that the shedding of his blood washed away your sins. Not you hope, somebody said so, the church said so, but you know that because it's been revealed to you. Those words weren't revealed to you. Those words were already there. What was revealed to you is that your sins have been washed by him. Nobody can take that away from you. It must be personal. And it is spiritual revelation that does it. So if you're reading the red book, that's paragraph 7, pages 4 and 5 in the red book. So what's written concerning the seven ages of the church, we also know that it wasn't revealed to the disciples. And it also, this is something that surprises people sometimes. Some people, it stumbles them. But it wasn't revealed to Jesus himself either. The Spirit hadn't revealed that to the man Jesus Christ. Oh, you want me to read that? Okay, I will. I can feel it, and we need to know this. It's important. Okay? Somebody say, praise the Lord. So, if you are reading from the red book, it would be paragraph 9 on page 5. Actually, we'll go back to paragraph 8. Now, I said this book of Revelation is the revelation of Jesus and what he is doing in the churches for those seven ages. It is a revelation because the disciples themselves did not know these recorded truths. So what was revealed to John, it actually wasn't even revealed to John by Jesus the man, because Jesus the man didn't know it. Are you with me? Later it was revealed to John, and John wrote it, but it still wasn't revealed to the disciples. It is revelation because the disciples themselves did not know these recorded truths. It had not been previously revealed to them. You remember that they came to Jesus in the book of Acts and they asked him, "Are you at this time going to restore the kingdom of Israel?" And he said, "It's not for you to know the times or the seasons." Those men were still thinking of Jesus as having an earthly kingdom, but it was a spiritual kingdom that he was going to build. Even he could not tell them about his place in it, for the Father had not revealed it unto him. So there's the man, and then there's Spirit God that dwelt in the man, right? But after his death and resurrection, and at this particular time in his mediatorial ministry, he's able to set forth here in this revelation of himself to John what his glory and presence in the church would mean and what it would do. So this is after he rose from the dead. This is after he brought his blood to the throne. This is after he started his mediatorial work. Of course he knows it now, right? This is after he returned back into the Logos. This is after he took his place on that mediatorial throne. And that's when he began to reveal this to John. It wasn't, so think about it. If he knew it ahead of time, why didn't he tell John before he died? Why did he wait until after he rose again to reveal these things? Well, first of all, the timing of it was unnecessary. But second of all, he didn't know it. It hadn't been revealed to him yet. How many knows that God doesn't reveal everything to his prophets? This is important. You say, but Jesus was more than a prophet. He was. But everything still wasn't revealed to him. So, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he reveals these things to John. And Satan hates this unveiling. Satan hates this revealing, but we love it. That's why, friends, frankly, that's why this message is being attacked so much in this hour. Because Satan hates it. Well, why would he hate it? Because it shows how he wormed his way in, and it shows him getting kicked in a lake of fire in the end. And it shows all of his tactics, all of his work. It exposes him. What it does is it's like, you know, let's say you're, excuse the crude analogy, let's say you're living in a house that's filled with cockroaches. Cockroaches don't like to be exposed to the light because they're afraid a bird's going to eat it or whatever, you know. So they hide. So if you've ever been in a place that is infested with cockroaches, you haven't lived until you've done that. But if you have never been to a place like that, you know, it'll cause you to have some different kind of sleep patterns after that. But you turn on the light, and if they're all out in the open, you hear all these because they're trying to get out of the light, right? Well, Satan loves darkness. But once you turn on the light, it exposes them. And we're afraid a lot of times of things that are in the dark, or we're afraid of what we can't see in the dark. But what takes away our fear is the light being turned on, right? And you can see who it is that you're facing, what you're facing. You can see what his tactics are. You'll look and think, that little cockroach, I was afraid of that thing. Oh, it's still nasty and ugly. I'm not saying that I, you know, want to get a selfie with it or anything. Not saying I want to touch it, not saying I want to hold it, but I'm not afraid of it now, right? I can see it. It can't hurt me. What two books of the Bible does Satan hate the most? Genesis and Revelation. Genesis shows how he caused the fall, exposes him in the very beginning. Revelation exposes him in the very end. And it shows how he's worked in the church throughout the ages. This is so important that I want us to read it together. Paragraph 17, which is on page 6. Because Revelation is so important. Now remember this, Christ in the true church, and of course we'll get into this as we go through the study, because there are messages that are addressed to the churches, and the word churches doesn't mean to the, you know, Love Divine Fellowship and to Evening Light Tabernacle and whatever. It means there are different kinds of churches. There's a true church and a false church throughout the ages, but both of them are being addressed, right? To remember this, Christ in the true church is a continuation of the book of Acts. So a true church will have the works manifested in them that were manifested in the book of Acts. Because actually, the book of Acts, it's the acts of the Holy Spirit in the church, right? The book of Revelation shows how that Antichrist spirit would come into the church. And why would it come into the church? To defile it, to make it lukewarm, to make it formal, to make it powerless. Paragraph 18. It exposes Satan, revealing his works. And then in brackets here, revealing his works, which include the attempted destruction of God's people. Notice, I love that. I'm so thankful, Sister Allie, that it says attempted, right? We can all say, nice try, devil. Now, I'm not making light of it because he will give it his best shot, right? And it'll be a battle and it'll be a trial. But it's an attempted destruction, but the gates of hell will not prevail against that true church. The attempted destruction of God's people and the discrediting of his word. So you'll always know that it's a devil when God's word is being brought into question. God's word is being challenged. Right down to the time that he's cast into the lake of fire. So he does this all the way through. He'll pop up at the end of the millennium and try again. And strangely, there'll be people that saw people living in glorified bodies for 1,000 years, and they'll still try to come against him because Satan is deceiving. Right down to the time that he's cast in the lake of fire, he fights that revelation. He cannot stand it. So, once again, it should be the most, it is, not should be. There's no should be to this. To the believer, it is the most important thing, is revelation. We love it. But guess what? Satan cannot stand it. So we couldn't be on further opposites, right? You live for it. He hates it. So what is he going to do? He's going to try everything he can to keep you from receiving that revelation. He knows, paragraph 19, that if the people get the true revelation of the true church and what she is and what she stands for, and that she can do the greater works, she will be an invincible army. How many believes that? If they get a true revelation of the two spirits within the framework of the Christian church, not Hell's Angels, not the bar, not politics, within the framework of the Christian church, and by God's Spirit, discern and withstand the Antichrist spirit, Satan will be powerless before her. How many want to see Satan powerless? To be able to look at him and say, look, here's what the word has shown me. Get out of my way. I don't have time for this devil. Nice try. You can't stop me. I'm on the road. You place sickness on me. I'm taking my healing. Get out of my way. I may have to battle some symptoms for a period of time, but I will prevail. And you will move off. He will be as definitely thwarted today as when Christ withstood his every effort to gain power over him in the desert. Remember after Jesus received the Holy Ghost? He went out in the desert and he was tempted 40 days. Satan brought his great temptations and his great challenges, and he was defeated, completely defeated by "it is written." And the reason why Jesus could defeat him with "it is written" is not because he had the word, but the word that he had was revealed to him. It was the right word at the right time in the right season. And Satan, he has to back up. This is a powerful key, friends. Yes, Satan hates revelation, but we love it. Somebody say that tonight. But we love it. Love what? We love revelation. With true revelation in our lives, the gates of hell cannot prevail against us, but we will prevail over them. How many believes that? So a mystery requires the teaching of the Spirit, or it never becomes clear. Even if it's explained to you, it won't become clear except the Spirit teaches you. So once again, I'm just going to belabor this tonight. How important is revelation to the Christian believer? Huh? Let's say it all together. How important? Yeah, give your own answer, but how important? It's everything, friends. Another question for you tonight. Who is this book, and I'm not just talking about the book of Revelation, I'm talking about the Bible. Who is this book revealed to? Bride. Anybody, any other answers? Huh? Sons and daughters, that's true too. The elect. What's that? True church. What'd you say? There you go. That's the one I'm looking for, but all of those other things are true. Right? You must be, it's revealed, not you must be, it's revealed to a prophetic class of people. In other words, it's a people that God can reveal himself to you, right? We know that we're living in an age, it's not the man age, so we're not reasoning. It's not the ox age, so we're not laboring. It's not the lion age, so we're not coming out with a roar. It's an eagle age. In an eagle age, the anointing that's on this age is an eagle anointing, which is prophetic. So you believe this message. I wanted to ask you this question. I'm sorry, but I'm going to give you the answer first. And maybe we can play Jeopardy and you can then tell me what the question was. The reason why you believe this message is because it's revealed to you. If it isn't revealed to you, somebody can talk you out of it. Right? Friends, how many times have we seen that? It's tragic and it just tears our hearts out. People that, especially young people that are raised up in churches many times, and mom and dad, maybe they have the revelation, or maybe they're there for a certain reason, but for whatever reason, the children never, it's never really presented to them, and it never becomes personal. But they've been raised in it. They've heard it all their lives. Brother Branham, this, church, that, right? This and that. But the very first person that they run into that tries to present a different reality to them can talk them out of that. And why is it that they can talk them out of it? Because it was never revealed to them. It was information. So if somebody can talk you into something, somebody else can talk you out of it. That's why we don't try to talk people into it, right? We want God to reveal it to us. And once he reveals it to you, friends, nobody can take it from you. Nobody can cause you to doubt it. Nobody can talk you out of it. It's yours. In fact, it gets to the place where you found yourself in it to such a point that you realize when anybody is challenging it, they're challenging you. Because it's speaking of you. And you know who you are. And because you know who you are, the works that were prophesied that would be done in your life are being done in your life. So it's a special class of people. Now, we'll get into this further on in this study, but that special class of people, let me give you the simple answer for it tonight, okay? Because we hear bride, and that's absolutely true, right? But when we hear bride, sometimes we wonder, well, how do I know if I'm bride or not? Or how do I know if he chose me or not? Let's distill it to the simplest form. He reveals it to his sons and daughters. If you are his son, if you are his daughter, he will reveal it to you, right? Well, then I better hurry up and become a son. If you are a son, you always were a son. If you are a daughter, you always were a daughter. You just didn't know it. And there was a certain time and a season when God drew on you, woke you up, and showed you who you were. He revealed to you. The only way that you can know that you are a son or daughter of God is for him to reveal that to you, right? God, are you talking about me? Because he's talking about different classes of people all through the scripture, right? So the elect of God, the bride of Christ, the true church, all of that are the sons and daughters of God. Think of it this way. If there hadn't been a fall in the garden, every son and daughter of God would have come forth, right? There was a fall in the garden. And as a result of that, every son and daughter of God are still coming forth, and a whole lot of others. But God's not willing that any should perish, right? So there's a way that's even made for all these others who are, they're actually not his sons and daughters. Oh, I know that sounds hard, but it's true. It sounds like you're trying to put people out, right? Well, Brother Baker, you're trying to put me out. Well, my question to you is, do you want to be his son or daughter? And if the answer is yes, it's probably one of the best indications that you are his son or daughter. Because if you aren't, you don't care. Okay. Man, I'm only going to leave you 5 minutes. That's terrible. I assure you I'm going to leave more time in future sessions. There's just a number of things that we had to cover here tonight in terms of housekeeping and setting the stage. Okay, so what I've done next is I've got a series of scriptures that Brother Branham didn't necessarily refer to, but once it's revealed to you, you can find these scriptures, and I would put them under the category of revelation. what the scripture has to say about Revelation and who this special class of people is. So Amos chapter 3 and verse 7, surely the Lord God will do nothing, but he revealeth his secrets, his secret unto his servants, the prophets. So we'll get into this in further studies, but we know that the word of God always comes to the prophet first, and God reveals it to the prophet, but then the prophet brings it before the people, and then the same God that revealed it to the prophet reveals it to the people. Luke chapter 10 and verse 21. In that hour, Jesus rejoiced in spirit and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent. So God refuses to allow people that are wise and prudent, that are relying on their own intellect, that are they're not seeking God, but they're what they think is what's important. You've hid these things from the wise and prudent, and you've revealed them unto babes, little children. Even so, Father, it seemed good in thy sight. So there's another characteristic of this special class of people. They're going to be simple. They're going to be babes, except you be as this little child, you'll know in no wise enter into the kingdom. Simple. One of the outstanding things about children is that they're inclined to believe. And what is our part? Is to only. That's our only part. Only believe. But if you aren't as a little child, you won't be able to believe, because you'll try to reason and figure out. And all things are delivered to me of my Father, and no man knoweth who the Son is but the Father, and who the Father is but the Son, and he to whom the Son will reveal him. And he turned him unto his disciples and said privately, blessed are your eyes, which see things that you see. So why would he say that? Because everybody's not going to see it. But if you see it, you're blessed. I don't have this, and I don't have... You're blessed. For I tell you that many prophets even, and kings, have desired to see those things which you see, and they haven't seen them, and to hear those things which you hear, and they haven't heard them. So you're blessed just to hear them. You're blessed just to see them. Matthew chapter 13, verse 10. And the disciples came, and they said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? Remember, Jesus spoke parables, and he was speaking of the wheat and the tares and the sower of the field. And the disciples noticed that, and they said, why are you speaking to them in parables? And he answered and said, because it is given to you, the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it's not given. So God intentionally reveals it to his children, and he intentionally withholds it from those that aren't his children. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. It's speaking of Revelation. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. And to everyone is given a measure of faith. So even those that even have a little faith, if they don't go on, even that will be taken away from. And that's how you just shake your head and marvel, thinking, wow, this person was the foremost pusher of the message, and now they're the foremost against it. Now they have no faith. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing, see not. And hearing, they hear not. Neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing you shall hear, and not understand. And seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For these people's hearts is waxed, or become gross, or dark. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have closed, they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. So if we think that we're being exclusionary, put it all on Jesus, right? He's the one that's being exclusionary, but he's not actually being exclusionary. Because if you are a son or daughter, there's not one of his sons and daughters that he won't reveal himself to. Every one of us. So there's no big eyes, no little U's. It's not just for the evangelist to come by and share with us his great revelation that only he can explain. No, if it's a true revelation, the littlest amongst us will be able to take it back to the Word. Otherwise, leave it alone. He says, hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. So he spoke in a parable to all the crowds. Then he took him inside the house. And his disciples said, why did you speak to them in parables? He says, because to them it's not given to know these things, but to you it is. And now he's got him inside, and now he takes him through. Well, the sower is this, and the field is that, and the dark hooded one is this, and right? And Judas was even there. John chapter 16, verse 12. I have yet many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. You can't receive it. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, now he's speaking about the very Spirit that's dwelling in him, is come, well, that Spirit was come. It was in him. But he's going to send it, and that Spirit that was in him is now going to be in you. He will guide you into all truth. Now, friends, that word all truth, those words there, it doesn't mean you're going to know everything. What it means is whatever truth has been revealed in your hour, he'll lead you into that. He won't leave any of us out. Is there anybody here tonight that was maybe like me in the very beginning? I was worried that I'm going to get left out of, I got a lot of catching up to do. I'm late to the party here, and I'm just hearing this, and, they're saying the rapture could happen at any moment, but I don't know everything that everybody knows, and I was worried about that, right? Until he told me, fear not. Didn't I promise you? I'll be your tutor. A lot of times a tutor is assigned to you to get you caught up. I'll be your tutor. I'll be your guide. I'll make sure that whatever they know, you know. Because I'm not going to leave one behind. For he shall not speak of himself. In other words, when the Holy Spirit comes in you, you're not going to hear a voice in your head saying, I'm Jesus, and boy, it was a nice day today, and I've got this beautiful robe that I'm wearing right now, and if you could just be... No, he's not going to speak of himself. But whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. So whatever word comes your way, the Spirit in you is going to hear that word and then break it down for you. Is that right? He will show you things to come. That's prophetic. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. So, wisdom of words makes Calvary worthless. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish its foolishness. And that's why they perish. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Again, Matthew chapter 11, verse 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for it seemed good in your sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, and neither any man the Father except the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Again, Psalm 34. So what I want you to get from that last scripture is that it has to be revealed to you. He has to reveal himself to you. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18. The Lord is nigh or near unto them that are of a broken heart, not proud, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit. So these are the ones that he reveals himself to, right? Psalm 138, verse 6. Though the Lord be high, yet hath he respect unto the lowly, but the proud he knoweth afar off. James 4, 6. But he giveth more grace, therefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. So if you want to know him, humble yourself. Don't make yourself a big something. Don't try to be a big something. Don't look to be a big something. Recognize that if you could be that big something, you'd be that big something without God. If you want to know God, make yourself nothing. He'll make you something. One more to add to this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. So, as we're going to see as we go through this series, to each age the messenger says, he that hath an ear, let him hear. Now, the only reason for saying something like that is if everybody doesn't have an ear. And it's not talking about a physical ear, it's talking about a spiritual ear. So this requires supernatural instruction. And since it requires supernatural instruction, every time we approach his word, we should do it in prayer. Every time we approach his word, we should make sure that we humble ourselves. Every time that we approach his word, we should look at what our approach is. And we should ask God, speak to me. Reveal it to me. Make this real to me. So we know that to overcome, it requires power that only comes through the revealing of the word. So if we're going to be overcomers, God has to reveal himself to us. He has to reveal his word to us, right? And we also know that last verse that we read, Revelation chapter 1, verse 3, and we're not going to cover any more here tonight. The word, he says, the time is at hand. So what he's speaking of is there's a word that's going to be released at a certain time. And we know that this is that time for it to be made known and released and to become power. Not to educate you, but to fortify you and prepare you for what you're going to go through, right? So think of it this way, and I'm 10 minutes into overtime, and I apologize. I'll do real good next time, okay? These revelations, God revealing these things to you, they are puzzle pieces. And so you should mark them in your Bible, because when you put all these pieces together that we're looking at, you'll see Jesus Christ. And the amazing thing is, you're going to take a piece of the puzzle from this book and from that book and from this chapter and from that chapter. So you're not going to see it. You'll see the pieces as you go through the Bible, but all of those pieces put together, it shows you Christ. And without revelation, the Bible is just, it's no different than any other book. Let me just show you how important it is to you tonight, okay? Can I have two more minutes? Thank you. Can I borrow from the rest of you? Without revelation, you cannot be redeemed. You can be saved. But even, actually, there's even a measure of faith that's required in salvation. You have to believe. Without revelation, you can't bring the right sacrifice to God. Without revelation, you don't know what the right sacrifice is. Without revelation, you can't please God. Without revelation, you cannot overcome in your day. Without revelation, you don't know who you are, and you can't find yourself in the Word. You cannot truly even know right from wrong in the greater sense, apart from knowing what the law might declare to be right or wrong. That's the letter of the law. But you can't truly know right from wrong without revelation. Brother Brown told us in the beginning of this that Cain couldn't offer to God the right sacrifice. Why? Because he wasn't a son of God. See how simple that is? So since he wasn't a son of God, he didn't have eyes to see. He did not have ears to hear. So there was no channel for God to reveal to Cain what to offer, right? But our God is such a loving God, such a merciful God. He looked at Cain and said, look, Cain, I know that you couldn't get a revelation of this because I didn't give it to you, and you don't have a channel to receive it. I'm just talking to you now, right? But if you just go and do what your brother did without revelation, works. If you just do that, won't there be a place for you also? Not the same place as Abel, but there will be a place for him. That's the God that we serve tonight, friends. Okay. Questions? I promise you this will be more interactive in the weeks coming. Anybody got a burning question here tonight? Yeah. If you do, we'll hand you a microphone so that we can. Somebody asked, "Where's the bathroom?" It's over there. Sister Linda, I'm sorry. We're recording it. Yeah, that's why.
You asked us to read up to page 28, and it got into the Godhead.
Yes.
Will we be getting into the Godhead next? Or
probably not, because the next section. So there's actually three sections. The next section is, well, no, actually, the next section will get into the Godhead. So yes, that's what we will get into next time is the Godhead.
Well, because my question was about the Godhead, so I'll wait then.
Yeah. Okay. And the last section is still on the Godhead, but true water baptism. So that is one of the most important. Actually, I'll just make this statement before moving off. The greatest revelation is the revelation of the supreme deity of Jesus Christ. And it must be revealed to you, right? And that is the revelation of one God and of the Godhead. So yes, our entire next Bible study will be on that subject.
Next question, you said about there's not enough of us. Could we just go into the dining hall?
No, I'd rather, if we're gonna do it at the church, I'd rather do it in here. But there's a part of me that would love to go house to house. I think there'll be more come because you're going to tell people, you know what, you need to hear this. And you know what, Brother Baker didn't lie. He actually did it for an hour. Don't tell him about today, but next time. We are going to try and keep this different than other services, but it's important. Anybody else? Please. Yes.
Mine's not actually a question, but just something that I got out of the reading.
Good.
On Revelation, in my early walk, I was really determined that other people see what I saw. And it really, really pained me when people didn't.
Yeah.
But when it becomes a true revelation, then you just say, this was for me, and you pray that others see it, but it's right. not a pain
right.
to where you're, you know, feeling sorry that you see it and somebody else doesn't, but mm-hmm. that you're blessed, that you
see blessed.
It.
You are blessed,
and that, you know, you hope that somebody, but I think it changed the perspective of what revelation isn't just freely, is not something out that's free to everyone.
Right,
and
right.
so you have to really embrace how blessed you are that you have it.
There you go. That's very well put. How many can identify with that? That's very well put. Anybody else? I guarantee it will get more interactive next time, and I won't talk as much. I used the first 15 minutes for housekeeping, so you'll have at least 15 minutes for questions. Good. It's usually how these things work.
Brother Doug,
mm-hmm.
Bless you. Mine's not really much of a question.
It's all right.
It's more of a, more like something that I kind of overlook when it's mentioned that not everything was revealed to Jesus
yes.
while he was on earth.
Right.
And just it meant something. It became very personal to me because you know, sometimes as a Christian in your Christian walk, or my Christian walk, I should say, sometimes there's that feeling of, oh my gosh, I need to know everything.
Right.
And, you know, I need to memorize this or go through every single scripture and every single message and every single book that I can find related to the Bible. And it just makes it much more personal to me to to the level that, you know, I just got to trust the Lord and go with the guiding of the Spirit for my day and age, for
yes.
my time,
right.
rather than try to, like, bring everything into one big pile and try to, like, you know, give it to someone else. So
right, right.
Thank you for bringing up that, or for mentioning that during the study.
Yes, yes. Wonderful. Amen. Wonderful. Thank you for that thought. Now, the wonderful thing about this is it will make you want to dig in, right? As he reveals himself to you, that is what Jesus was speaking about when he's talking about you eating this word. You'll want to eat it. You'll want to feed on it. You'll want to get revelation every day, or, you know, as often as you can. You'll become a junkie. Because it'll make it personal for you every day. And so what I'm trying to get at is that it won't be a chore. It won't be, I know that I'm supposed to know a few things, and so I better get busy. You'll want to do it, right? And that desire will cause you to do it. Anybody else?
Okay, I have a question. Since nobody else will ask.
Five. No.
That's the answer, five.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Can a person truly receive a revelation and disobey it or reject it?
So that is a very good question, and we're actually going to go into that later in this Church Age series. But it is possible for you to see something and know that it's the truth. So whether that is, there's a fine line there. Because I don't believe that it can be truly revealed to you and you go against it. But you can know that it's true. It can be proven to you that it's true. Just as, I mean, God proved to Cain that he vindicated it. The pillar of fire came down. God said, look, I accept that. So Cain knew that that was true, right? He knew it, but it wasn't truly revealed to him, right? So we will touch on that more later, but if it's truly revealed to you, why would God, first of all, it's only revealed to his own. So there's no way that you could go against it, because you're his own. You're the only one that it was revealed to, right? Does that help? Yeah. Okay. And believe me, we've heard different versions of that. We've heard that you can believe all of this and go up to the end. And actually, so where we're going to get into that later on, Brother Branham refers to it in Hebrews 6, where he's telling us what that scripture means. Jesus said, or Paul tells us, it's impossible for those that have partaken of the heavenly gift, that have tasted of this, to fall away and then renew themselves again, seeing that they put the Lord to an open shame and crucify him a second time, right? So the way we always understood that, because it hadn't been revealed to us yet in the denominations, the way that we took that was, if you ever see this, and then you fall away, and then try to get restored, it's impossible. Can't happen, right? So that's the way that we understood it, and it scared the tar out of me, because I wondered if I'd already done that, right? But that isn't what it says. What it says is, it's impossible. If you've tasted of it, it's impossible for you to fall away. And we'll get into that. We'll show that. It's impossible for you to fall away. You won't fall away. It's impossible. I didn't say you won't make mistakes. I didn't say you won't grow more. I didn't say things won't become clearer and clearer to you. It's impossible for you to fall away. Right? Anybody else?
So do people who just have the information, they think they have a revelation of
yes.
it?
Yes. Okay. You're bringing this lesson out for us here tonight with all your questions, and they're the right questions. Because you're wondering, what's the difference between me and the other person sitting right next to me that's saying amen to the very same thing and is shouting to the very same thing, right? And claims to believe the very same thing, right? What's the difference? The difference is Cain is being taught, it's being revealed to you. So Cain sees it because he's being taught it, but it's being revealed to you. And, wow, that's a subject right there, right? It's incredible that somebody can be sitting right next to you and you're a child of God and they're not, right? Now, don't start looking around and don't try and figure it out, right? We don't know who is and who isn't, right? People will show that. Just make sure it's you, right? But it should, God wants to comfort you with that thought, right? He wants to comfort you with the thought that, look, if I'm showing you this, how could you not be my child? And how could you fall away, right? So we don't want to focus too much on the negative part, and there is a negative part, and it's just as true, right, that the other person can fall away, right? Focus on the fact that you know that it's been revealed to you. And to your point, I'm blessed. To your point, you know, not woe is me that other people aren't seeing it. And yes, I would like other people to see it, but hallelujah that I see it. Anybody else? That is a whole subject that will be covered later on in the Church Age book, but it's worth touching on right now because it falls under the category of revelation. So is that clear tonight? Is it clear that only sons and daughters of God can hear from God? I mean him speaking to you. I mean him convincing you that this is his word, that it's personal. Man, if we can get that across, if we can truly get that across, then if we're a church member and he's not yet, we don't feel that he's yet made that personal to us, that should cause you to say, God, I want you to make this real to me. I want to go beyond being that nice church member that Sister Julie's talking about that will it can even be sanctified and a foolish virgin can't put a finger on their life because they're keeping all the commandments. I want to be more than that. I want you to reveal yourself to me. Anybody else? Frankly, that's the difference between those that will embrace this message and run with it and those that won't. Hallelujah. Okay. We took 25 more minutes than we should have. I promise you I'll give you back some time next time. Brother Andy, you want to close in prayer for us tonight? Let's stand.
Father, it's truly been an honor, Lord, to be here. And Lord, it's an honor just to open your word and to receive, Lord, what you've sent to us in this age, Lord. And Father, we are truly blessed, Lord, when you reveal yourself to us and you make yourself real to us and speak to us, Lord, out of your love letter. And Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for our pastor, Lord, and Lord, his desire to teach your people and to rightly divide the word. And Father, we're a blessed people, Lord. And I pray that you just be with each one as we dismiss now, Father. And Lord, as we read the next portion of the book, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would grant us that revelation. And Lord, that we would, Lord, receive what we have need of, Lord, just right in our daily lives, Lord, and that we can walk with you and talk with you. And Lord, just live like Enoch, Lord, walked with you. And Lord, we know that we'll just walk with you right into a rapture.
Yes, Lord.
Lord, we truly are thankful and
thank you,
pray that you just bless us as we go tonight in Jesus' name.
Grant it, Lord.
Amen.
Amen, amen, amen. God bless you.